Let's share a word of prayer. Father, Mother, surprising God, you alone are above all. You created us and called us very good. Help us to see your image in every face, from every nation, of every race. Open us to wisdom from surprising sources. Make us grateful for every bite, every breath, every blessing. We thank you. Logos, Sophia, Savior, Christ, we are yours. May we trust and learn your methods. May we greet the world with your laughter and love. May we feel secure in your arms through pain, loss, depression, and aging. May we recognize your hand in healing, recovery, reconciliation, and second chances. Spirit, Holy Breath, help us rest completely, act courageously, and love with wild abandon. We pray all this and the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Do we have any children who'd like to come forward for me, please? Come on, guys. It's okay. You want to sit here for us? Okay. This is Samantha, and this is Dylan, and this is Cora, and this is Anna, and this is Kara. Okay? And we're really glad that you're here today. A couple of those folks aren't used to being here all the time either, so it's okay. Do you think if you asked your mom or dad or grandma or somebody, if you asked them for something and they said no, are you supposed to argue with them? No. No, you're just supposed to give in and just do what you're supposed to do, right? But you know, sometimes there may be a good reason to push it just a little. And long, long time ago, when Jesus was walking around and teaching people, he had a woman come to him, and she wanted him to help her daughter, who was very sick. And she knew, she had great faith, and she knew that he could heal her daughter. And she came and asked him. She said, "Lord, Son of David, help my daughter." And he said, "Go away." Do you think she went away? She was really worried about her daughter. She was really scared for her daughter. So she kept asking him. And you know what? He was so impressed by her great faith, her trust that she knew he could help her daughter, that he said, "Okay, she's healed." And he healed her daughter. So you might think about it. Sometimes when your parents say no, it means, "No, you really shouldn't. This would be a bad thing." And sometimes it means, "I'm tired. I don't want to hear anymore." And if you go back very politely and say a good reason, like, "Don't you remember we were planning to go here?" Or, I promised my friend and you said it was okay last week," or you have a really good explanation, your parents might listen. It's called negotiating. You can say, "There's a good reason that I need to do this," or, "I know you really wanted me to do this job, and I'll do that job if you'll let me do this." So you kind of trade. So sometimes you have to just say, "Okay," and do what you're told. But sometimes if there's a really, really good reason, like that woman was really scared for her very sick daughter, she had a really good reason, and she kept pestering Jesus, even though he told her to go away. So if people can pester Jesus, you might need to negotiate just every once in a while, all right? Anybody have anything they want to share? Anything exciting happening? Anybody buying school supplies or school clothes or anything yet? Have you? Yeah? Is that fun? You get to pick out new stuff? Yeah? Do you get to go to school, Samantha?
Well, I haven't.
You're going to have a new school here, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Yes. Do you know the name of your school, or your teacher, or anything yet?
I know Samantha.
You know a teacher?
Yeah, it's Samantha.
Your teacher's name, Samantha?
And your name.
And my name? My name's Pastor Pam, but it's pretty close to Pam and Sam. Those are close, aren't they? Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad. You're going to come back and visit us some more, aren't you?
I don't know.
You don't know? Well, you might. You might. Okay, what we do when we're all done here is we say a prayer in a circle, and at the end when we say amen, we raise our hands and drop our hands. And today I have stickers and things that you can have, and I think you're going downstairs, right? Who's in charge? Mona. And the kids call you Mona. Okay. Do you see the lady in red back there? If you want to, you can go downstairs with her, and she's got some interesting things for you to do. Okay? And I think these big kids are going to go with you. So we're going to make a circle and say a prayer. And we have stickers, and then you get to go. All right. Jesus, we thank you for these children. We ask you to help all the families, all the teachers, all the caregivers who watch over our children, that our children are safe and that they learn and grow and feel blessed and loved. We ask you to help us learn when to take no for an answer and when to keep on trying, because it's very important. We ask you to teach us every day and help us grow in your love. In your name we pray. Amen. And we have stickers and bookmarks and things over here. So you can pick out one thing from here. Let's let Samantha in here too. There's stickers. I know there's one magnet left, a couple magnets left. And there's wolf stickers and there's polar bear stickers. What you want?
What's that?
It's an eraser.
I want that.
You want that? Okay, fine. And Mona's right there. From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David! My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. Here ends the reading from Matthew 15. My message this morning is called Surprising Jesus. The authorities were out to get him. The crowds seeking his gifts clamored after him, relentlessly begging for healing and instruction. Jesus left Galilee, heading north and west. He was in the nation of Phoenicia, part of the Roman province of Syria, between the coastal cities of Tyre and Sidon. Jesus had escaped. No one should know him here. Yet a woman is calling out to him. She is called Syrophoenician from Syria and Phoenicia in the book of Mark, the first to record this story. The author of Matthew here calls her Canaanite, an earlier term from the land of Canaan. Outside of Jewish areas, no one should care who Jesus is. Yet a woman is calling after him. She's not Jewish, yet is calling him Son of David, a title reserved for those anointed by God, the chosen messiahs of the Jews. How did she know? Does this strike you as an unusual Jesus story? Bible scholars write and argue at length over this encounter. Just as we have certain templates of stories today, murder mysteries or once upon a time fairy tales, there were expected ways to tell stories in the time of Jesus. Back when most people could not read, it might have been even more important for storytellers, orators, and teachers to stick to trusted formats. This is how one debates. This is how one tells a moral story. Except our favorite carpenter liked to capture the attention and thinking of his listeners by flipping expectations. For example, we hear him upset people when he makes the hero a Samaritan. Shock and awe for his listeners. And when there are challenges and controversies in interactions with Jesus, he is in charge. Think of all the times he challenged Pharisees to fix their thinking. Well, then what a double surprise when the one who likes to surprise gets a twist himself. Jesus and his crew get away to Syria. They escaped the plots and the crowds of Galilee. No one knew him there. Peace and freedom. And then that woman started yelling for him, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon. Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." She kept it up over and over. Jesus ignored her, or he tried. And still she hollered, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." Until the disciples finally said, "Get her to stop already." Thus Jesus turned around to tell her off, shoo her away. He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Jesus did not say, "I don't want to help." He did not say, "I am unable to heal your daughter." Jesus told her God had sent him only to the Jews. "You are not my department. This is not my table. God did not send me to help you and your kind." If writers from all over the USA were to gather in the Ozarks for a conference, would they bring their differences with them? Of course. And if those writers all went home to Atlanta, to Cincinnati, to San Diego, to the lonely, isolated hills of West Virginia, would they write exactly the same stories? Don't think so. The people who wrote down the Jesus stories in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were from different regions, the Middle East, Europe, and Asia. They recorded their gospels 35 to 60 years after Jesus lived. They worked from different sources and from their community's perspective. Matthew's audience, it seems, had an issue with outsiders. After the Romans destroyed the Jewish temple, did they see themselves as outsiders? Had they been hoarding the good news, saying, "Oh no, the mercy and love of our Jewish Jesus are just for us, not for those strangers next door"? We do not know. Scholars believe, though, that Matthew was written down in Galilee by Jewish followers of Jesus. The author had the book of Mark as one of his sources, but he adapted the telling for his community. Where Mark quotes Jesus as saying simply, "Let the children be fed first. It is not fair to take the food from the children and give it to the dogs," Matthew begins the same dialogue with Jesus first saying, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Preachers need to know their audience, address each congregation's understandings, needs, and errors. Apparently, Matthew's people had an issue with us versus them, insiders versus outsiders. Do we? Years ago, an old friend criticized those who did not have health insurance. They should get a job that provided insurance or buy their own. And then his wife retired from teaching and the rules changed about her family insurance. We may think certain people do not deserve health care, shelter, or food. Addicts should not get food stamps. Stop drinking in order to get assistance. We may be all for zero tolerance for other people's children. Matthew's congregation may have been closed, exclusive, just us. It may have been seen as a safety issue for them. None but our own. God's gifts are just for us. Just as in Matthew's 10th chapter, when Jesus sent his students out to teach, heal, and exorcise demons, he told them only to go to Jewish villages. Jesus tells the desperate mother that he was not meant for her and her people. His gifts were just for his kind. But is that a godly decision? Or is that our human habit? Whether we are scholars or preachers or everyday Christians, we like to think we know how God works. You have to pray like this. You're not allowed to do that. In an online forum, one pastor talked about handing out a whole long loaf of bread and having the congregation pass it around, each one offering it to the person beside them. Some of us responded with, "Cool," but many said, "You can't do that," or, "That's not communion." Really? You know exactly the size of box God is in? I don't. In the United Church of Christ, many of us know that God does not fit in a box. And those preachers or teachers or followers who try to define and confine the Holy One will discover that God will blow the lid off any box, flatten it out, and turn it into a dance floor. No boxes. No telling the divine what can and cannot be done. Walk humbly with your God. We do not know. Jesus tells the woman, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." The clever mother replied, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed instantly. "Call me a dog all you want, just heal my daughter." And he did. Jesus liked to surprise listeners. He was a skilled debater and creative storyteller. Those people that say God is unchanging, that is a Greek concept, not a biblical one. The Greeks said, up on Mount Olympus, perfect, superior gods never changed. Well, ours does. Our God keeps changing, keeps getting better. When Jonah preached to the Ninevites, they changed their ways and changed God's plans. Jesus thought he could dismiss that pesky Syrian woman. Can you hear his surprise? Just as when you were a kid and you won your first dinner table argument with your dad. Think you cannot challenge, ask questions? I love when people thoughtfully disagree. They are thinking, wrestling, making the effort to do the math. And I am not God. No preacher is. No teacher is. No boss is. Jesus did not get offended or angry. Jesus changed his mind and gave a persistent mother healing for her child. He rewarded sassy repartee with healing and a compliment, while the disciple Peter often heard, "You of little faith." This stranger goaded and startled certain Jesus into new, uncertain territory. Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. What good news for us when Jesus looks this human. Not a stodgy stone God ours. We work for a lively, listening, laughing, loving God. We follow a Jesus who does not mind a challenge. We follow a Savior who adapts and keeps ahead of us. We are blessed every day by a God who is still speaking, still leading. If we keep asking, we might even be able to surprise our surprising God. He was tired. Jesus replied to a pleading mother, perhaps out of habit. The habit of his ancestors said, "What is ours is only for us. We are the chosen few." The habit of his people said, "There is not enough to go around. Guard the pantry." She shook him loose from those habits. She prodded him to stop and think. It turns out there is enough healing, mercy, and wholeness for all. It turns out that divine love and compassion welcomes everyone, even us mutts. From the poem Outwitted, by Edwin Markham. He drew a circle that shut me out, heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle and took him in. Amen.